Amen. Would you give the Lord a praise offering? Are we on? There we go. Amen. It's wonderful to be back in the house of the Lord and have been looking forward to coming back to Lakeland. And sure appreciate Pastor and Sister McGuire. God bless you. How many came expecting something from the Lord today? Let's try that again. How many came expecting something from the Lord today? Amen. I'll be honest with you, I can't remember if we sang this last time we were here, but we sing songs all the time, once or twice, don't we? The song says, take me back, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Take me back, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. It is our honor and to be with you all tonight and looking forward to Wednesday night. I must be honest with you, though. I've come loaded for bear. I'm gonna undo my tie just a little bit and so I can breathe. Amen. But I've come loaded for bear. I just got back from overseas. Spent 10 days in the Philippines. And saw in five services we had close to 50 people get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We had 2 weeks ago today, we had a lady that walked in with glaucoma, could not see. Her eyesight was horrible. And she came down. We prayed for her. The pastor told her to open her eyes. He told her in Tagalog to open her eyes. Had to tell her three times. And when she did, she screamed loud. I mean, it was a blood-curdling scream. She said, "I can see! I can see!" And she said it in English, and I understood that one. Amen. So I can guarantee you, if God did it overseas, He can do it right here in Lakeland, Florida. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would somebody allow your faith to rise this morning? Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Come on, let's talk to Him, everybody in this building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. One more time. I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Jesus. I'll just be honest with you. I like to follow the flow of the Holy Ghost. Is that all right with y'all? I'm ready to preach, and I'm going to preach. But as I was back in the hospitality room, I felt like the Lord put something on me. And in fact, I thought, man, this is pretty good. I think I'll just develop a sermon out of it one day. But the Lord spoke to me, and He said, "This is someone's last night with the ravens." I thought, that's interesting. This is someone's last night with the ravens. And so I said, "What are ravens?" First of all, ravens, they're scavengers. But also, we find in the, man, I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Ravens, Elijah went down by the brook. He was hungry. There was a famine in the land. And the ravens fed him. And finally, the Bible says, and the brook dried up. And then he went down and a widow fed him. I've come to tell somebody in this house today, and when the Lord speaks to me who it is, I'll come and tap you on the shoulder. But I could be preaching to a whole lot of people in this house. This is the last night with the ravens. In other words, the last night of scavenging and wondering and questioning. God, what are You going to do? I speak that in the Holy Ghost today. Would you lift your hands and let's say accept it all across this room. God, I thank You for it. I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Jesus. The book of Romans chapter 4, verse number 21. Romans chapter 4, verse number 21. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Being fully persuaded what He had promised, He was able also to perform. God does not speak idle words. Every word that God says, every time God says something, it is for a reason. There is a purpose. Everybody say purpose. And it's very interesting that God never promises to deliver. Now, if we say, "I want it on my time," it's not our time. It's God's time. Sometimes we can be so in a hurry to get it done that we miss His purpose. That we say, "Okay, God, I'm going to go ahead and take care of it." In fact, there's war all around this world because of somebody took things into their own hands. And there are times that life has this abrasiveness about it. And just a few more moments of standing, if you don't mind. That it can test the strongest of constitutions. First of all, when I believe that things should never happen, they happen. I shouldn't have to have car problems in the middle of rush hour traffic. I shouldn't have to be stuck behind a fire on Interstate 4 on the way to church on a Sunday morning. That happened this morning. I sat in traffic for about 30 minutes, 40 minutes or something like that. Maybe it was less than that, but it sure seemed like a long time. And another time that we think things should happen, they never happen. And then there's a third one that really is the most difficult to deal with, is when I think things should happen right now, they happen much later. Amen. I want to preach to you for just a few moments on the subject, the settled covenant. The settled covenant. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven one more time and let's pray together. God, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for your hand upon us. God, I ask you to do a mighty work in this service. Oh, God, I ask you to do a great work in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost flow. God, let the gifts of the Spirit be in operation. Minister to someone in this building today. Fill someone with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Fill someone with your Spirit today in Jesus' name. Everyone said in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, sis. I appreciate it. You may be seated. We all go through those trying periods. And thank you for helping me preach here a little bit today. I really feel like God is going to do something wonderful. Is that all right with y'all? Amen. I believe that there are times that we struggle with these trying situations. Although our faith in God is grounded and in His Word it's grounded, it is assaulted at times. And why can't we just take God at His Word? Why can't we just take and realize that God will do what He says He's going to do? We become so intellectual in our own interpretation of God, and so analytical we find ourselves being robbed of the blessings He would extend to us because we are trying to figure out what He's going to do, how He's going to do it, and when He's going to do it. There's something about a settled covenant here today that I want to deliver to you. No matter how deep the valley, no matter how dark the night, you can take promise in the fact that God always keeps His word. It may not happen when we think it should, but it's going to happen. That God's word, you can take it to the bank. He always keeps His word. Hallelujah. This book of 2 Chronicles tells us of an earth-shaking event. The nation of Judah had come to a time of judgment, and because of their folly and their lack of faith, they had fallen into sin yet again, and backsliding had become a common part of their existence, and God had lost His patience with them. He said, I'm tired of it. It's over. I'm sick of it. And God brought judgment to Judah through Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylonians, and the armies marched into Judah, burning and looting, and the people were slaughtered, and the remnant marched away into captivity. It seemed like the end for Judah, but there was a promise, because God said, there's a different plan. He said, you're going to go into captivity, but you're not going to stay there. That was such a foreign thing to them, because nobody had ever been taken into captivity before and been left there. Or had ever come out of the captivity. Every time that they went into captivity, a nation went into captivity, that's where they died. That's where their children died. That's where their grandchildren died. And so it was something far-fetched for them to believe that God would bring the nation of Judah out of captivity. Yeah, but He told them, He said, it's not going to last. It will not stay this way. And when time is fulfilled, I will call you out of captivity and you'll come back to the land of Judah and live again. And they just could not comprehend, and they just didn't know how to they didn't know how to reconcile that promise of God, and they couldn't see how it ever be that it would be brought back again. But God said, I want you to just kind of hang around and watch a little bit. If you don't just watch a little bit, because I'm going to do what I said I would do. In the middle of all of this is one of the most powerful prophecies that the Bible ever talks about. It was when Ezekiel was taken to the Valley of Bones. And God placed Ezekiel in the Valley of Bones. It's very interesting when God places you in the valley. Most of the time when you're in the valley, it's either you put yourself in there or somebody pushed you in. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He was talking metaphorically about the valley, it was an experience that he was familiar with. But this time, God had placed Ezekiel down in the valley. I find it very interesting, because if you're in a valley that God has placed you in, you need to hang on, honey, because God is going to show you something you've never seen before. I really feel the Holy Ghost in this house today, that if you're in the valley, God is getting ready to show you something that you have never seen before. No one had ever seen the miracle of bones living again like this. No one had ever seen such a major miracle like this before, but God said, I'm going to place you in this valley. And so he placed him there, and then all of a sudden God began to ask questions. It's very cool when God asks a question, sort of. Because when God asks questions, again, they're for a reason. It's to probe the intent and the heart of man. When he asks you a question, whenever God asks you something, it's because he wants to know what's really in your heart. Oh, well, doesn't God know everything? Absolutely. The Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so he says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Now, our thought and the way that we would process it would be going, you've got to be kidding me. When God asks a question, you really kind of take notice. You stop everything. You stop your thinking and let God do the talking. Help me just a little bit, because Ezekiel is standing there and God said, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, thou knowest, Lord. I've come to this realization that he could have argued back and forth, because no doubt Ezekiel knew some of those bones. No doubt he knew who some of those people were, but he begins to say, Lord, thou knowest. He didn't try to figure out, God, how are you going to do this, or how are you going to do that, but he simply said, Lord, thou knowest. And the same, and all of a sudden the Lord began to speak to him again, and he said, I want you to prophesy to these bones. Please hear what I'm trying to say today in the Holy Ghost, that God is wanting somebody to prophesy to some things today. I tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost is that it's someone's last night with a raven, but you've got to prophesy to some things and say, I refuse to live like this any longer. If you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God will fill you with the baptism of his Spirit. If you walked in here with a need, you can walk out of here with confidence, knowing that God is faithful and able to perform that which he had promised. So Ezekiel stands up and he begins to prophesy. I have no idea what he was going through or what he said, but I do know this. He did say, thou knowest. In other words, Lord, this problem is so large that if there is going to be a solution, it's not going to be in my own ability. It's not going to be in my own knowledge, and it's not going to be in what I possess. It's all about you. It's all about how great you are. You know it, God. If there going to live, you're going to have to be the one that did that. And all of a sudden, the bones began to move together. The finger bone to the hand bone to the arm bone to the shoulder bone, and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, what he's got there are bones that are put back together. And then all of a sudden, the sinew begins to get back together. And then God said, I want you to prophesy to the wind. Notice this, that the same thing that had dried them up, the same thing that caused them to be in that condition is the same thing that brought life back into them. What you're going through was not sent to kill you. It was sent to provide you restoration. It was sent to provide you a stepping stone to a higher place in God and a greater place in faith. Somebody needs to say, my situation will live again. I know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Hallelujah. It's a settled covenant. It is a settled covenant. There is something about when God makes a covenant that he will not break that covenant. I need to borrow an illustration. Brother, would you grab this chair? Grab that chair and place it right down here. Grab that chair from there. Place it on that other side. I want to show you something. Right here. Facing that. These are the altars, okay? Come here, Abraham. God said to Abraham, he said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. He said, see the stars in the sky? Yeah. Help me out here. Come on, act a little bit with me, okay? See the stars in the sky? That's your children. That's how many of your children. Can you count those? Come on, Proby. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have hit him. I said, see the sand and the seashore? See all the sand? That's how many children. That's going to be your family. And all this.
Jesus, touchdown.
Can I have somebody that'll be serious with me? I'm kidding. Oh, Lord. Our spirit's connected because we're just nuts. Okay. So the Lord said to Abraham, he said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. He said, I want you to take and cut two turtle. I want you to cut a turtle dove in half and place one on each half of the offering, of the altar. And then he said, I want you to sit down over there. Just have a seat right there. Because I'm making this covenant not with you. I'm making the covenant with myself. In other words, here's what would happen. Come here, Abraham. Come on, Abe. So when a covenant was made, if the covenant was broken by one party, the party that broke the covenant had to die. Right? Is that word, Pastor? The covenant, whoever broke the covenant, that person had to die. But God says to Abraham, he said, Abraham, I don't need you as part. I'm making this covenant with you, but I really don't need you. Abraham said, Lord, how do I know that this covenant, how do I keep the promise? He said, all I want you to do is keep the fowl off of the sacrifice. Because whenever, what they would do is they would set the altar up like that and place one on either side. And when they'd make a covenant, they would walk in between it together, making this covenant. Are you following me? And so God said, Abraham, I don't need you. I don't need you to walk in this because I'm making the covenant with myself. Why? Because he cannot lie. His word cannot hello, that's the word of God. It's a covenant. It's not a contract. It's totally different than a contract. A contract has a signature on it because you don't trust me, I don't trust you, and that's what the banks say, okay? But when a covenant, there was a blood sacrifice that had to take place. And so the Lord says, God himself said to Abraham, you stay right there. I'm going to walk in between this covenant by myself because I'm making this covenant with myself. I cannot die and I cannot lie. Abraham says, okay, God, how do I know the proof of this? He said, you keep the fowl of the air. You keep the animals off of the sacrifice. That's all you have to do. All I want you to do is from morning to night, I want you to keep that sacrifice off of there. I want you to do whatever you've got to do. And so Abraham, he had one job, and it was to keep the fowl of the air. The Bible says, and from morning to night, he kept the fowl. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the fowl wants to come down and steal your sacrifice. Sometimes that fowl attitude... that foul attitude wants to come in and say, well, why didn't this? Listen, it's not up to you to figure out how God does it. You have one job and one job alone, that I'm going to keep the foul off. How do you keep the foul off? You begin to praise him, begin to worship him, begin to honor him and give him glory. And as long as you keep worshiping him, the foul has to stay off of your sacrifice. I've come to tell somebody, it's a settled covenant. God, I'm going to praise you when I don't understand what's going on. I'm going to praise you. When everything around me looks crazy, I'm still going to pray. Why? Because I'm keeping the foul attitude. I'm keeping the foul spirit. I'm keeping those foul things away from me because I'm going to worship you because there is a settled covenant. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, clap your hands to Jesus. David is running from Saul. Why? Because Saul, thank you, you can have a seat. I'll have you come put these back later. David's running from Saul. He goes into Ahimelech and he says, look, I don't have a weapon. I'm about the king's business. Well, Pinocchio, you just told a story. Well, maybe he was about the king's business. His running from the king. Maybe he considered that the king's business. But that's really not, that was not the truth. We know that he went in there and Ahimelech said, there's your sword that you killed Goliath with. It's behind the linen ephod. Well, first of all, he shouldn't have had the linen ephod off because he was in the house of the Lord. His victory, David's victory, was hiding behind somebody else's worship. Watch this. David is running from Saul. So David, where does David go to? David runs to Gath. Now, I'm talking about a settled covenant. Do you remember David was supposed to be king? Remember? The man of God, Samuel, said, you're going to be the next king. Because God said so. So David is running from Saul, and where does he go? He goes to Gath. Why in the world did you run to Gath? I'm ADHD, okay? We saw a golden retriever yesterday, and that dog saw a squirrel or something, and he was pulling his little owner down the road. That little girl she had this look of fear on her face. I said, I understand that, man. I see a squirrel, and I'm out of there. And so David runs to Gath, and here is my thinking. This is why I said I'm ADD, okay? My thinking is, David said, I've already beat you before. I've beat your best. I've beat your brightest. I have already beat you before. If I've done it once, I can do it again. Okay, maybe that's just me. And so he's running away from Saul, and he passes these monuments that have been built up for Goliath, right? Remember the scriptures? That he was a champion of the Philistines. And what they would do is they would build statues and they would build monuments towards their giants and their champions. And so the whole time David is running past, going to Gath, he says, okay, I've beat you before. I'm not going to raise a hand against Saul because he is the anointed of God. He really wasn't acting anointed right now, right at that moment, but he said he is still anointed by God. I'm telling you, this is the word of God. I'm telling you, it's a settled covenant. You've got to grasp this today, down deep in your spirit. It does not matter what things look like. You just got to keep doing what you know to do. It's to worship God. Why do I have to keep doing this? Because that's the only option. Giving up is not an option. Stopping is not an option. Throwing your hands in the air and saying, I just can't do this anymore. That is not an option. And so David is running to Gath, and he passes Goliath. He says, I cut your head off, dude. And he passes the other brothers of Goliath that his family had killed. You see, it was a family tradition that they had all killed it and killed these giants. And so David gets to Gath, and the Bible says that he was fainting. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter, I think it was 15 or 17, somewhere in that area, he's beating on the wall, and they're looking down at David, and they're saying, he's a madman. The king looks at him and he says, bless his heart. He just, somebody said you could say whatever you want to about somebody as long as you say bless their heart. And so David is down there acting like a madman. David did not call himself a madman. It was Samuel that called him, said he was feigning as a madman. But David is there banging on the wall, and they're looking down, and they're saying, is that David? Is that really David that has killed his 10,000s? Saul has killed his thousands, but David has 10,000s? Is this really the David? Yep, king, that's him. Bless his heart. David was not a madman. He was not crazy. He had not gone off the rocker. Guess what had happened? Hey, Pastor, would you turn to the book of Psalms chapter 34 for me? Psalms 34. If you began to study that out, David wrote Psalms 34 while he was at Gath. So David was not a madman. He spoke Aramaic, right? And so he is saying things in Aramaic that those heathen up there have no idea what he's saying. So they think that he's just mad and he's gone loony and all this kind of stuff. David was not mad. He was not crazy. What had happened, he said in the book of Psalms chapter 34, Pastor, I think I have your microphone. You got it? 34. So David's standing at Gath. He's beating on the wall. He's saying this in Aramaic, and they can't understand what he's saying. And David's going, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue. Are you seeing what's happening? He's over here acting like people are looking at him, but he is absolutely punch drunk, but he's going this. He says,
my soul shall make her boast, in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together.
Stop. Oh, let us magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt. Who was he talking to? He wasn't talking to the heathen. He was not talking to the, but what he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Continue on.
I sought the Lord and he heard me.
I sought the Lord and he heard me.
and delivered me from all my fears.
Yes.
They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed.
Uh-huh.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles.
Uh-huh.
The angel of the Lord encampeth round about.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Them that fear him and delivereth them.
What's this? This is just absolutely incredible. So David is beating on the wall. And he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt. He was not talking to the heathen. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. And
he delivered.
So when David is saying, everything is crazy. There's a covenant that's already been made. And all I have to do is keep praising it. These people, I have beat them before. I'm not going to come against him because he's a man of God. He's not acting like it. So I'm going to do what I know to do. I'm going to worship the Lord. He was not talking to the heathen. He was talking to the angels.
Yes, yes, yes.
He said, the angel, come on, let us magnify the Lord together. Let us magnify. I'm trying to tell somebody, when it's looking crazy, when it's looking wacky, you just keep praising God. Keep worshiping him. Why? Because all of a sudden, the angels will join in. The angels will join in worshiping. I want somebody in this house today begin praising God. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
He wasn't mad. He was drunk in the Holy Ghost. Come on, there was something that was going on inside of him that says, it may not look good right now, but I'm going to keep praising him. I'm going to keep worshiping him because I know that he will respond to my praise. Come on, somebody else has grabbed a hold of it. I'm telling somebody, this is your last night with a raven, but you've got to understand, I'm going to worship him regardless of what my circumstances look like, regardless of what's happening around me. I'm going to praise him. Come on, don't stop it, don't stop it, don't stop it. Come on, come on, come on, don't stop. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Somebody needs to step out of the seat where you're at. Come on, don't be confined to the seats where you are. Somebody needs to step out of there and say, I will magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Come on, come on. Some of you need to let the Holy Ghost go right now. Some of you need to just let the Holy Ghost go. Do whatever you feel like doing right now in the Holy Ghost. There it is. Something's happening in the Spirit. Something's happening in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, there's a new season that's opening for some people around here. Come on, there's a new season right now. You're fixing to step into a new season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, how are you going to get the attention of God? Come on, come on. I feel something in the Holy Ghost is happening. Yay, Lorolobos. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, Lorolobos. Ya rabba da da ba ya de de bos. La rabba yoro la bos. Da la ba ya se. Hallelujah. Rabba ba ya da da ba ya se. Hey, Lord, 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 Lord. Hey, da 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 bo yo sa ha ha rabba ya rabba ha se hey yo ro lo do bo sa ha 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 rabba ba ya ha da 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 bo yo ya ha da da bo sa ha. There's a new season, new season. The brother and sister that met us at the front door when we came in, sitting on the back. Aren't y'all the one that met at this door? Would you take her hand and come down to the front? As you walk down here, there's a new season that you're walking into right now. There's a new season that's happening right now by the power, the name of Jesus. Yehe rolobosaha. The Lord has made you promise after promise. And you don't see how it's going to come to pass. You don't see. And I have no idea what you've been going through. I know nothing. But I'm telling you, God has made you promise after promise. But all you have to do is keep praising. Keep doing what you're doing. Because it is a settled covenant. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to figure it out. He's heard your heart's cry. He's heard the cry of your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you need the Holy Ghost, God will fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now. I'm going to say this one time. If you need the Holy Ghost, you want the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken in tongues. If you want the Holy Ghost, God will fill you right now. We were just at a church last Sunday. I told you I've come loaded for bear. Listen, it has not stopped. We were at a church last Sunday. We had 6 people get the Holy Ghost last Sunday in a church in Mississippi. He's no different in Mississippi than he is in Florida. If you want the Holy Ghost, God will fill you. All you have to come down here quickly. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. I told you, I'm saying it once. I'm not going to beg. I'm just saying, if you want to come, if you want the Holy Ghost, come quickly. Come on. This is it. It's a settled covenant that if you will come, he will fill you. There's fiction to be healing all across this building. I'm talking about physical healing. There's fiction to be some physical healings all across this building. Pastor, would you and Sister McGuire join me down here? Please, I want to pray for y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's going to be strength returned to your body, sis. God is going to give you a supernatural strength. Now, doesn't mean that you have to be superwoman and fix everything. But God is fixing to heal some things inside of you. Hey, I know you love your pastor and wife, and I'm trying to be very, very gentle here, but I'm telling you, they carry a load. I pulled up, and I saw all the cars, and I'm thinking, absolutely phenomenal. I was here last year when you had just moved into this building. I would have been, y'all have done incredible. But I know what the Holy Ghost has spoken to me. And God is fixing to restore some things in your body, in your mind. Right now, everybody lift your hands to heaven. Hey, I need some prayer warriors to pray right now. Come on. Come on. I need some prayer warriors to pray right now. In the name of Jesus, by the authority of the word of God, I speak healing instantly. Instant healing. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voice. Everybody, lift your voice. Hallelujah. Sister, come here. Both of you ladies right there. Both of you ladies, come place your hand on Sister McGuire's back. Just place your hand on her shoulder. Thank you, right there. Right now, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, I thank you, God, for strength. I thank you for strength, God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you lift your hands again to heaven? There's been some struggle. Yeah, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Andrew wants the Holy Ghost, and I believe that God's going to fill him with the Holy Ghost. Angel. I believe that God's going to fill him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want everybody to lift your hands to heaven. Let's repent of our sins. Repent of your sins right now, everybody in this place. Yes, there we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In just a few moments, whenever I say, I want you to just start saying hallelujah. Come on, but right now, let's repent of our sins. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm repenting of my sins. I'm sorry, God, for everything I've ever done. I'm sorry, God, for everything I've ever done, ever thought, ever said. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, just a few more moments. Come on. Listen, it's not a spectator event right now. We're participating. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody repenting. Come on, everybody, lift your voice loud and strong. Right now. Hallelujah. Come on, here we go. Fixing this. I want everybody to shout hallelujah in just a few moments, a few more seconds. Hallelujah. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come on, everybody shout hallelujah right now. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, there it is. By the power, the authority of the word of God and the power of the name of Jesus. Come on. Yes, there it is. There it is. Yeah, da 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 da. Go ahead.